What about Laylatul Qadr? Is there an impact and an effect beyond that though, or is it just that I pushed myself and I hope I got it last night and the sunrise looked amazing, alhamdulillah, I got it, bismillah, let's do this again next year. Is that it? Or is there anything beyond that? SubhanAllah, I had the blessing of doing a program with Dr. Ratib al-Nabursi, hafidhahullah ta'ala, and he was asked, when is Laylatul Qadr? When is Laylatul Qadr? Because we get asked every day, did you see the sunrise? What do you think? Do you think it was last night? The rooster was crowing. The dog wasn't barking. Do you think the rain, it looked right. It felt good. The moon, we start looking at signs. Some of them based in the sunnah, right? About the signs. But the Prophet ﷺ never abandoned the masjid after the 23rd night or the 25th night and said, it looked like it was last night. Salaamu alaikum, see you all next year. It didn't happen. But he was asked this question, when is Laylatul Qadr? And he said, when the Qadr of Allah is greater in your heart. When the estimation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has become greater in your heart, then that is a sign that you have observed and caught Laylatul Qadr. Now let's talk about that for a moment, bidnillahi ta'ala. If you have been staying up all night, when you hear the Fajr Adhan, and some of us throughout the year, never hear the Fajr Adhan in the masjid except in Ramadan. Like, we will never catch the Fajr Adhan in the masjid except maybe in Ramadan in these last 10 nights because we're staying up all night. And so you're hearing, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. Prayer is better than sleep. But when you hear, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm, indeed, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. And subhanAllah, it strikes you differently when you've been up all night, right? Because it's like you're craving sleep at that point. You're sleep deprived. You're waiting for Fajr to come in to try to sneak in some sleep. And you're hearing, As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. And you might think to yourself at that moment, SubhanAllah, what did I put forth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the Prophet ﷺ said that there are angels that have been created. Every single part of the heavens is occupied by an angel that is either in a place of standing, or a place of ruku', a place of bowing, or a place of sujood, or a place of prostration. And on the Day of Judgment, all they're doing is doing tasbih. Can you imagine? They've been created, and all they do is tasbih. They glorify their Lord. They don't do anything else. Every part of the heavens. Can you imagine, subhanAllah? We have no idea how vast the heavens are, how vast the galaxy are, how vast the observable is. What then of that which is not even observable? We're constantly trying to discover more. Prophet ﷺ said, not even a handspan of four fingers. Is there not an angel that is just saying, Subhanallah, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Glory be to my Lord the Exalted, glory be to my Lord the Most High. And the Prophet ﷺ said that on the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sets up the scales and He commands them to raise their heads. They didn't do sujood for a night. They did sujood for an existence. The entire time, prostration, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. And they look up, and the first thing that they say is, Subhanaka ma'abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. Glory be to you, we did not worship you as much as you deserve or you have the right to be worshipped. Think about that for a moment. Not a night, not even 80 years. From the time they were created to the time of the Day of Judgment. Nothing but tasbih, glorifying the greatness of Allah. And on the Day of Judgment, now you can raise your head. Subhanaka ma'abadnaka haqqa ibadatik. I didn't do enough. You should have been worshipped more. You deserve more than this, but this is all that I could physically have given you. Now the angels never got distracted by food and drink and intimacy because they don't do that in Ramadan or outside of Ramadan. They never got distracted by choice. They're not like human beings. All they do is worship Allah. And that's all they can say on the Day of Judgment when they see the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We didn't do enough. So dear brothers and sisters, what is the point of this for us in terms of a feeling and an impact of Laylatul Qadr in particular? There are three things that the ulama mention in terms of understanding, having a greater qadr of Allah in your heart, a greater estimation of Allah in your heart. Three of them. Number one, Allah is worth a greater sacrifice. A greater sacrifice. As-salatu khayru min an-nawm. I was tired. I'm sleep deprived. I'm hungry. I'm thirsty. It's hard, right? Sometimes it gets difficult. I feel the pain of that sacrifice. Well, Allah is worth a greater sacrifice. So the next time you're pulled between the voice of righteousness and the voice of wickedness, when you're prompted by the angel that prompts you to do good and the shaitan that prompts you to do evil, which voice are you going to listen to? Allah is worth a greater sacrifice from me. So you know what? Allah is worth less sleep. Allah is worth more sacrifice. Allah is worth the pain of sin. Allah is worth the pain of blame. Allah is worth all of these things, a greater sacrifice. That's number one. The second thing that the ulama mentioned is that Allah is worth a greater share. What does that mean? A greater share of your wasa'il, your means to reach Him. And that is as-sam'a wal-absara wal-af'ida. It starts off with the faculties that Allah has given you of hearing. Allah is worth a greater portion of what I listen to. Allah is worth a greater portion of what I look at. Allah is worth a greater portion of my thoughts, of my contemplation, my fu'ad, what occupies my heart. Allah is worth a greater portion of a share, a greater share of that. So it starts with that. Then they say, Allah is worth a greater portion of my time. Because time is a means to reach Allah. Allah is worth a greater portion of my wealth. Charity is better than what I spend for my own desires in this life. What I spend upon the poor and the oppressed for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I spend upon righteousness. مَا عَنْدُكُمْ يَنْفَذُ وَمَا عَنْدَ اللَّهِ بَعْضُ. What you have disappears, but what is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remains forever. It's worth more of my wealth. And so there is an observable increase. This is the observable part. An observable increase in the share that you're now going to allocate of your speech, of your listening, of your sight, of your time, of your thinking, of your thought, and then of your wealth, of your efforts, of your deeds for Allah. A greater share. And the last thing, a greater hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do you want from Allah? You know, when someone makes dua to Allah and there's a doubt, can he really answer me? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. You didn't give Allah His due estimation. When someone is pulled, you know, I don't know if, am I going to really realize, like, is Jannah and what Allah is promising, is it really going to be there and is it really going to be all worth it? مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. You did not give Allah His due estimation. When a person seeks forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they say, I don't know if Allah is going to forgive me or not. You know, I have some really big sins that I've committed. مَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. You're not giving Allah His due credit. You're not giving Allah His proper estimation. All of that means a greater hope in Allah. Increasing your hope in Allah. When you diminish your hope in Allah, what you are really doing is you are suggesting a deficiency on His part, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no deficiency. And so, dear brothers and sisters, with Laylatul Qadr in particular, if Allah increases the estimation, the Qadr of Allah, the power of Allah in our hearts, the share of Allah in our hearts, that is a sign of an accepted Laylatul Qadr.